big British castle. It's time for Adam and Joe to broadcast on the radio. There'll be some music and some random talking in between, and then eventually the whole thing will just end.
Oh dear, are you alright?
Boys do cry.
Oh, that's a clever thing to say. You've contradicted the name of the song.
Do you remember when
we
were
the first time in recorded history?
Do you remember when we were at a party, man? When we were young?
Have we been to a party?
When we were young people. When we were like 16 or 15.
Forget.
And there was a fellow in the corner, our friend Tony Stoddart. You remember him?
Sure.
And we were playing that album, The Cure, Boys Don't Cry. And after that track, he just said, "Boys do cry, you know." And then he went off and had
sincerely
some more Malibu. Yeah, it was sincerely. He was dropping a little emotion.
Maybe he
bomb.
Was the first person to do that, to say that.
I think he was. He was upset because no one was snogging him.
Well, that's always upsetting. No one's snogging me right now, and I'm on the verge of tears.
Yeah. I mean, I was snogging so many people. First of all, I didn't even hear him. And then.
Yeah, well, you were a player.
Certainly I was.
You certainly was in your big loon pants. And your enormous hat.
If you want to know the name of this player, it's Adam Buxton. How are you doing?
How you doing, listeners? My name's Joe Cornish. It's Saturday morning here on BBC Six Music. It's beautiful here in London. It might not be beautiful where you are, but it's certainly beautiful here on Six Music.
And if it's not beautiful where you are, in your face!
That's not very nice.
No, that's not. That's not on.
We got all sorts of stuff coming up. We've got a Black Squadron Command, so we should launch the jingle, or are we going to have a record first?
Let's have a jingle. Come on. Black Squadron!
Always catch the beginning of the show. Black Squadron don't want to miss a thing. That's not the way Black Squadron roll. Black Squadron! Went to bed at a reasonable hour. Gotta be sharp on Saturday morning. That's the secret of the squadron's power.
Black Squadron!
Yes, Black Squadron are the elite listening force that listen to the Adam and Joe show here on Six Music live between 10 and 11 in the morning.
I'm glad you say elite rather than elite.
Do people say elite
a lot now? You know?
Remember, none of what you're hearing now will be included in the podcast. This is exclusively for live listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the creme de la creme.
It's a special section. It's been roped off from the rest of the show.
And by now, you know, longer-term members of Black Squadron will be feeling the physical benefits.
Sure.
They will have more toned bodies.
They will have eggs in their pockets.
They will have bacon jewellery.
That's right.
And they really have started to reach a new plateau of existence, a mental acuity, a physical perfection.
If someone randomly says to them, "Get in the bin," they'll be in the bin before anyone else.
Members of Black Squadron who've been there since the beginning should be noticing changes in their life as a whole now.
Yeah.
More success, a bit more money in the bank, success in love.
Exactly, after they went out into the street wearing only their underwear that time.
Things should be improving on every front for Black Squadron. So here is your command this week. Now, this command includes a word that has to be listened to very carefully. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to spell it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to enunciate it very clearly.
Right.
It's a fairly safe command. If you get any in your eyes, simply wash it out with warm water.
Mm-hmm.
Stand by, Black Squadron. Here comes your command. Remind new members to the squadron what you have to do. We're going to give you a command. You have to take a photo of yourself executing or interpreting that command, and then you send it to us here at the Adam and Joe show via email, adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk, or via text 64046. And remember, all photos that we receive, or at least the ones that do it best, will appear on our gallery. You know, last week we had 450 entries.
No.
The highest number ever.
That's amazing.
It nearly crashed the blog.
Crashed the blog. That's amazing.
So here's the command. You ready?
Yeah, go on.
The command this week is F-O-A-M. Foam face.
Foam face!
Now, Black Squadron, your command was foam face with an M. But, you know, we've got some very sweet pictures of foamy babies. But a lot of people take photos like this anyway and might have them in storage.
Oh, come on.
What, is that too harsh?
That's way too harsh.
Is it?
That is a good picture. There's a foamy baby there with a funny expression on his face.
I bet that wasn't taken this morning, though. I bet that's in the file.
Well, ask them. But that is a peach, an absolute smash.
There's he's got sort of chops.
He's got like a big white head of foamy hair with big mutton chop sideburns. Who does he look like? He looks like a cross between
what's
Lenny.
His name from Heidi High? The big guy from Heidi High. What was he called?
McShane. Paul McShane.
Paul McShane, yeah, that's who he looks like.
Or Mike McShane or Ian. There's so many McShanes.
Keep those foamy faces coming in while the command is still active.
James, our producer, was just complaining it was a little warm in the studio. And it was, you know, it suddenly occurred to me and I turned it down. It was at 24. That's way too warm.
Way too warm.
What's your ideal temperature in a room?
I don't know. I still get confused between centigrade and Fahrenheit, to be honest. I'm confused right now. I can't even finish that sentence.
24 degrees C, I think we're looking at, aren't we? In room temperature, right? James?
Yeah.
Are you less thick than us?
Well, the thing is, weren't we born when it was switched around? Switcheroo.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I've stayed in a state of complete confusion about that.
Yeah, same here. But, you know, it's weird that in the modern times, you're aware of what your ideal room temperature is. Mm. That wasn't the case when we were youngsters. There were no, like,
Because you're air conditioning obsessed.
I am a little bit. Mm. I like it cold. I really like it cold.
I like it cold.
My ideal
it's like that
temperature...
question whether you would... This is morbid, but whether you would...
Be cremated or buried. Yeah. I had that conversation the other day.
Or whether you would prefer to die of freezing or hottings.
Or hottings.
Yeah.
Toasties.
Toastings. It's a tough one. It's a tough one to figure out. It's almost as if it's a stupid question.
Everyone talks about it, though. I'd definitely go for the Fruzels. I mean, you'd say until you're out there and...
Yeah, but you see some of those
mountain,
Fruzel films.
Yeah.
You check out the Fruzel flicks. They're not very... But then the Bernie ones, aren't so good either.
No.
No. I think a combination of the two, just warmed to death.
Mm. I'd like to be bored to death.
Really? Well, you're tuned to the right show.
Hey! Fed you that one. Here's a little free play for you right now, listeners. What's a free play, Joe? Explain.
A free play is a record chosen by either Adam or I, especially. Mm. I ain't got none this week.
Have you not?
Nah, I ain't got none.
Why would you waste your free plays like that?
I don't know.
You should have told me.
I'm banking them up. I didn't have any last week, so now I've got 9 in the bank. So if I drop
That's
it for another it couple
works.
Of weeks, I'm going to get to program a whole show.
That's not how it works.
What?
This popped up on my MP3 player this week, and I'd only ever heard the Pretenders version of this. I'm talking about I Go to Sleep by the Kinks. And this is the original, but it's so stripped down. It sounds like a demo.
It's probably not. I mean, that was you presenting a fact, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's probably not correct.
But, I mean, it does sound like a demo because it's so stripped down. And also, at one point, he seems to almost fluff one of the lines at the top, but it's beautiful and so minimal. This is The Kinks and I Go to Sleep. Why would you want to freeze rock?
That's the song sung in Shaun of the Dead, of course. Always reminds me of Shaun of the Dead now.
Yes, that's right.
With Nick and Simon there outside the pub.
Hmm. Yeah, but why would you want to freeze?
Because it's exciting. It's robotics.
Rock.
It's robotics. And they're two very extreme contrasting actions, to freeze and then to rock. One is extreme movement. The other is very, very frozen.
I'm thinking of like popping a stick of rock in the freezer.
Oh, I see.
Why would you want to do that?
What, a stick of rock, like Brighton?
Frozen. Exactly, frozen.
It's very tasty cold.
Is it? Nice cold, tasty cold.
A lot of, I mean, confectionery companies tried to push the idea of chilling chocolate, didn't they? Do they still do that?
Do they?
Do you remember that summer when someone somewhere came up with, hey, why not suggest that you put your chocolate bar in the fridge?
That was, I remember the first time, it was our friend Mark. He's a trailblazer for all those things, you know. You go around and Mark's always going to be doing the coolest thing, and Mark had his chocolate in the fridge. I was like, what do you do with a chocolate in the fridge, you nutbag?
Chocolate's best... eaten sort of room temperature, isn't it?
I think so.
It goes all hard and crunchy and nasty all cold.
I think. It starts going white. It looks like E.T. after a while.
It's ridiculous.
When he's ill. And the other thing...
That's a good idea, a chocolate E.T. that they just let leave to mould in the factory for a bit. It could be called, dying E.T.
My wife keeps the ketchup in the fridge.
Now,
is that?
So does my girl lady friend partner.
I always take it out and I stick it back on the shelf.
Lots of people like chilled.
Room temperature ketchup, please. I don't want it chilled. That's disgusting. It'll be a shock and then it'll cool the fish fingers down. Why would you want that?
Cold pizza? Do you like cold pizza?
I don't really. I'm not on for pizza.
Oh, you don't like cheese, do you? I
hate the cheese.
Oh, I couldn't eat a cold pizza. Some people love it.
Some people do.
Some people like it better cold than hot.
Some people have that for breakfast, yo.
What, cold pizza
cold
for breakfast?
Cold pizza for breakfast. The kids. the 17 to 25 demographic that
really
apparently listen to this show. Nonsense!
We'll be talking a little more about nonsense a bit later in the show, but now we should talk about some Black Squadron photos. Your response has been incredible, Squadron. Well done. There's one from Michelle West, who has made an extraordinary... I mean, that looks like her hubby.
I don't think it's Michelle.
No, or unless she's quite stubbly. But they've made an incredible sort of Marge Simpson-style towering bonnet.
It's beautiful.
I mean, the husband is in the bath. It's a very foamy bath. I'm impressed with people who can get bubble bath in bubble baths that high.
What kind of foam are they using there? The consistency is
very bubbly. It must be GM foam or something.
Maybe he's got some kind of wire structure under there to keep it up.
There's another one here from Phil Campbell, who says, I've got my parents staying over. I really should not be doing this. And he's used shaving foam, and he's coated his entire face, mouth, nose, and hair, and just left his eyes. He's got a very stern expression on his face.
He looks like the Invisible Man. He looks frightening as well. What would your parents think if you turned up like that as well? You'd think, oh, he's having a breakdown.
Well, that's the point. He's got his parents staying over.
Yeah.
So maybe he's going to shave his entire face. And this is extraordinary. Ben is having a stag in Cornwall, and he appears to have five friends with him. And they've also all sort of covered their faces in a thin layer of foam. It looks more like they're survivors of some sort of volcano eruption or something, doesn't it?
Right, or they've just witnessed an explosion in a Gillette factory or something.
And they're all pointing off camera as if something intriguing is going on, which is always a fun thing to do.
That looks like a good stag, guys.
There's another Text the Nation. Bank this. Best photo poses.
Mm-hmm.
Best poses to do just randomly in a photo. That's a good one.
Yes, pointing into the distance.
Pointing
in
the distance is a very, very good
absolute
one.
Absolute favourite.
Bank that one. Ryan Bayliss has sent in an extraordinary sort of terrifying photo of himself, also with shaving foam, but he's got shaving foam that has a heavy consistency. It has a strong inner structure. He's able to build it out from his face in an exciting way. One eye is covered.
It almost looks like whipped cream, that he's like he stuck his face in a pie.
There's a sort of myopic horror to that, isn't there?
He looks like a shaving cream zombie.
That's extremely powerful, Ryan. And finally, India Woods is with a man friend, and they've both... I mean, a lot of people have gone for shaving foam here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's happening there. What I mean, India looks like she's got some in her eyes. She doesn't
look that
comfortable.
What other type of foam were you imagining? Like sea spume?
I thought people would get a bit of washing up liquid and foam it up in the kitchen bath and then... Kitchen bath? Kitchen sink and then put it on there.
Are you enjoying foam in your baths?
I like to have a bubble bath, but as I say, I can never get it that rich or lather it. It always vanishes after about a minute.
As a youngster, would you sit there and pour a lot of matey in there or other bubble baths?
Your matey's a bottle of fun. You put it in the bath.
I'm loved by everyone, and I'm always good for a laugh. Other bubble baths are available, but would you stick a lot in there and then churn it with your hands?
Yes. I still do that.
Until it got way foamy.
I have a spread finger technique.
Do you?
So and I stay on the surface of the water. There's more friction. And
combination of that and the churning.
Mm. So much to talk about this morning. So many important issues.
Wasn't the churning an album by Tears for Fears?
Yes, it was.
Okay, good. Here's the Vaccines with All in White.
It was the Vaccines with All in White. We better stand down the squadron.
Black Squadron!
Stand down, your work is done. You've earned yourself a nice warm bath and maybe a nice little bun.
Black Squadron!
It's 10:31 and 33 seconds. It's time for the news here on Six Music. Yeah, he's a sexy man. Jack White and Meg White, that's the White Stripes. My doorbell. I thought I'd say their names like I knew them.
Makes it sound like you know them, and I think you're sexier and cooler because you know the White Stripes.
I know their names.
You know the names of the White Stripes. You're amazing.
The two White Stripes, Jackal and Meggles.
So listen, listeners, next week I've got to go away to Americans. So, but there's an upside to this.
Yes.
Because one of the best and most brilliant and most wonderful and most fantastic people and friends of ours and friends of this show is going to come and sit in for me.
Chris Moyles!
Yes! The Moyles monster. No, Garth Jennings, the amazing, wonderful Garth. And he's here on the line to set us up for his amazing deputising stint.
Hey, Garth.
Wow, that's the best setup I've ever had in my life.
How you doing, man?
I'm all right. I am...
Tell us where you are. Paint a picture for us.
Shall I paint a picture? I am standing on a beach in Cannes.
Ooh.
And I'm out here on business. We're out here, Nick and I are here, trying to raise the financing for our for our next film.
Mm-hmm. Nick is your producing partner, right?
He is. Nick Goldsmith, producing partner, and all-round good egg.
And your next film is a sexy romp starring Russell Brand, right?
I wish it was. I'd have had it financed by now. No. But no, it's
a sexy romp starring Dr. Buckles is the correct answer. Yeah, no.
Yes, all right. We'll
Garth? Garth, yes. I've got an idea for a film, and I thought you and I should maybe work together on it.
Yep.
You know they're doing board games at the moment. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, but the Connect Four movie.
Yes.
Oh, Connect Four.
Yeah, because...
That could be quite Mission Impossible-y.
Exactly. It's a kind of bomb-diffusing, sort of safe-cracking kind of thing. I don't know where I'm going with it. I've just got the Colonel, but if there's any chance for you to negotiate the rights while you're over there...
Can I play the Colonel?
Well, it seems like a hot topic. I can see the stand for the next Mission Impossible thing. I think they're going to do a big launch later. It's just across from where I'm standing. It's called Ghost Protocol, I think.
Oh, that's a video game,
it looks like they're going to do a big water entrance. You know, someone's going to come zooming in on a boat or something.
Have you seen any famous people?
Exciting.
Garth, have you seen any famous people out there? What's it like? What were they like?
Well, I got here yesterday and I was walking down the street. Robert De Niro.
No.
The cafe. Bobby De Niro.
OMG.
It was pretty exciting, I have to say. I even became one of those people that takes pictures on their camera phone.
Yeah.
So far away, you wouldn't even see them, but I thought I had to press the button.
You should have gone up to him and said, excuse me, are you talking to me? Excuse me, are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? He would have found that so funny.
That would have put me in a good, cool position.
Do you think you guys will do Song Wars while I'm away?
I think we should, don't you, Garth?
Yeah, I'm all for it.
We're acting like we haven't discussed this already. We have, and the topic for next week's Song Wars is going to be toys and games, because Garth and I are both fathers of a number of children, and I've got 10 children, Garth's got 25 children.
Mm. Yeah, so, it's really a Mormon sect we've got going.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mormon wife-swapping sect. It's good. It's good fun. So we're very familiar with the world of toys and games, and that's what we're going to do our songs about.
Connect Four song. I mean, that could be the title track for the movie.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you know what? I definitely need some inspiration because I haven't thought of what to do yet. I haven't had a chance to do it yet, so I might have to nick your Connect Four idea, Joe.
Well, please do. I'm excited. Your Hay Fever song is one of my all-time favourites. It really is. It's such a good song.
It's a good one. So, Garth, we're really looking forward to seeing you. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Best of luck for the rest of your Cannes trip. I had a little weird noise that I made.
I hope I come with good news next week. I need to be bringing back some positive vibes from Cannes.
Yeah, okay, good. And take lots of pictures of famous people. Go and prod Robert De Niro. And we'll see you next week.
Take care, fellas.
See you, Garth.
Right, lovely Garth Jennings there. He's going to be joining me while Joe is away next weekend. Right now, here's some more music for you. This is, this has got a great video for this track, actually. Have you ever seen the video for this, James? By a directing team called Daniels. And go and check it out online right now. And this is FM Belfast with Underwear. Nice. That's FM Belfast with Underwear. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Very nice to be with you this Saturday morning, listeners. And right now, I think we're going to get into some Text the Nation, retro Text the Nation, rather. But you've got a message there, don't you, Joe?
We do. We've had a very excellent jingle sent in by Dan in Hackney, who writes, "Hi, Adam and Joe. I thought I'd funnel my energies into this reworked retro Text the Nation jingle. I made it out of bits of old songs by The Clash, Uncle and M.I.A., with my laptop and my phone, and a real-life jingle I heard on the radio, and my voice, for which I apologise. Hope you like it. Love you. Bye. Dan in Hackney." Also, the other week, Joe mentioned he was reading a book about magicians. I love magicians too. Can you tell me what it's called and who is it by? The book's by Jim Steinmeier, and it's called... it's about Houdini versus Thurston. It's very good. Anyway, here is the jingle by Dan in Hackney. Check this out.
Listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation, but now my troubles have disappeared because retro Text the Nation's here. And now my letter might be read out instead of thrown in the bin and forgotten about.
Wow. Nice job. And he's got rid of the gunshots there, which I prefer.
Yes, they're very bad. That was terrific, Dan. Thank you very much. And last week's Text the Nation subject was... It was the first time we've ever returned to a subject because it was so powerful.
And we might come back to it again because it's one of my favourites. Public pretending, things you do, little fantasy charades you do in public to maybe
role
cover
playing
up
in
for
public.
Something.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll give you some examples. Here's a little example right now. This is from Dave Stewart. Do you think it could be?
I know it is.
He says, "Dear Adam,
I went to his house once, you know."
We both did. Do you remember?
Did we?
Yeah,
we did. We were together.
We were. Do you remember what we were doing?
Yeah, I do remember what we were doing, but let's not talk about it.
All right, then. "Dear Adam and Joseph, let me get straight to the point. If I happen to be in the vicinity of a helmeted security man collecting money from banks, etc., I make sure they see me conspicuously checking my watch in an attempt to make them think I'm logging their schedule for some kind of future heist. I don't think they care. Thanks," says Dave Stewart. So he likes to deliberately freak out.
I get scared whenever that happens. And whenever I go to the bank, they seem to be picking up or dropping off a big box of money.
Mm.
And I get terrified because I'm convinced masked gunmen are going to pop out from round a corner at
right.
any moment.
It's just a massive danger
and
zone.
And then I'm going to get involved and have to be a have-a-go hero.
You shouldn't really... Yeah, you definitely would. You shouldn't really freak out security guys like that. It's like in airports, you can go to jail for that.
That's
kind of
irresponsible.
Thing. Yeah, irresponsible. Nonsense,
bad,
nonsense.
Bad.
Irresponsible, irresponsible, irresponsible.
Here is one from Oz Squadron. Ishan, who is a male and is in Sydney. Hi, Adam and Joe. I'm a university student in Sydney, and I often choose to commute by public transport because I'm terrible at parking cars.
Oh, mate.
I forgot to read this out in the correct accent.
Correct.
I'm so, so sorry.
Oh, don't worry. Just carry on in the correct accent.
Often,
mate.
As I'm making my way to the bus stop, I see the bus zoom past me, because being a uni student, I'm usually late, so I have to burst into a full sprint to try and make it to the bus stop before it departs.
Daphne.
This is good. I think my accent's really
it
on
it
good. This morning.
It's on fire.
Even with my exceptional sprinting ability, I sometimes do not make it in time. In this situation, to avoid embarrassment and deflation to my ego, I continue to run past the bus stop and pretend to be an eccentric jogger doing exercises with jeans and a backpack.
Good tactic, mate.
Then, after 5 or 10 minutes, I sneakily slip back to the stop and wait for the bus to come. Regards, Ishan. A male
nice,
man.
Nice technique.
That's good, isn't it?
I'm just a jogging guy. I didn't miss that bus. I was just jogging. Yeah, I wear jeans. No, I don't wear, like, running stuff. That's for part-time joggers. I'm a full-time jogging man.
He's a clever, clever bloke, but you can say that about most Aussies.
That's true, mate. Here's one right now from Erin Kys. K-Y-S? How would you pronounce that?
Don't know. I'm not the man to ask. It's terrible.
It's true, isn't it? Erin Kys is in Chatham, Ontario, Canada. And she says, "Dearest Adamemnon and Jometheus, whenever I'm in a crowded public transit scenario, such as a bus or a train, I'm forced to sit next to a stranger, my first thought is always, I wonder if this person can read minds.
Mm-hmm.
I then challenge myself to start thinking of very interesting and intellectual things, like Noam Chomsky. In case they can hear what I'm thinking about. As time goes on, I become increasingly worried that my neighbour is on to me, knowing I'm only pretending to be interesting in my mind. So then I think something like, I know you can hear me. I'm on an important mission, and I've been trained to protect my thoughts. This usually leads to me accidentally thinking about their underwear or imagining them naked and then worrying for the rest of the journey they think I'm insane
That's
or a pervert.
That's incredible.
Or both.
That's incredible. That person's trying to manage their subconscious.
Have
subconscious.
You ever done that, though? I've been in a situation where I have thought in my mind very loudly about a person, right? My thoughts are very loud. And to me, it seems that they're so loud, surely the person will hear. And then I apologize in my mind. I say, listen, if you can hear me, I'm sorry.
I don't do that. This is new to me. How amazing. There's
really?
A new level of dementedness that I haven't achieved yet. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think things so loudly that later in the day I can't remember whether I said it or not.
Yes.
But I've never actually tried to, like, manage that. Or, you know, I'm fairly confident that people can't read minds.
Are you?
Mm.
That's funny because you're into a lot of other things, Sasquatch.
Well, come on, there's a lot more evidence for Bigfoot's existence. Don't get me started. There's only 2 hours left.
Have you got another one?
I've got another one, yeah. Hi, Adam and Joe. My public pretense story is thus, and this is from Rod. Sometimes when I'm shopping in a supermarket, I will look at the vegetarian food options, and that is merely look at them to impress the female shop workers and shelf stackers. By pretending I'm a vegetarian, I somehow convince myself that the female member of staff will think I'm a caring, animal-loving, fun guy, and therefore fall in love with me. If one day this plan works, I will be fully prepared to become a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Women prefer men who are vegetarians.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is it really?
They do. They do.
I think real women.
I just said that.
Yeah.
Got no evidence. It's a sort of provocative conversation starter.
Yeah, okay. Well, I would say that as another crass generalisation, women don't.
Now, in the old days, in the 50s and 60s, when men were men, women liked men who ate meat.
That's right.
Because it made them more meaty.
They liked men who had the blood of tigers dripping down from their mouths after they just run out and killed them with their mouths.
If women had their way in the old days, they would have just gone out with men who had no eyes or mouth.
Yeah.
They would just meat. Solid meat men.
And a big club.
And a big club. yes.
A mince club. Okay, here's one more from Claire Heal in London. She says, hello there. I thought you might like to hear about my most Oscar-worthy moment of public pretending. Once when I got on the bus, another lady offered me her seat. I was only going a few stops, so I refused the kind offer. She seemed quite surprised by this, saying, you sure? And looking a bit put out. Only after I'd turned her down a second time did I realise why she was so insistent. She thought I was pregnant. I was mortified, but didn't want her to know that I wasn't with child. I was just a bit fat. I thought that if she realised her social faux pas and was embarrassed too, then it would make an awkward situation even more awkward. So I spent the rest of the journey pretending to be pregnant by sticking my belly out even further and rubbing the small of my back. I think it worked, but I'm not sure. Claire Heal from London. That's nice, though, isn't it? Where you would just go into a whole bit of theatre to protect someone else's feelings.
That's amazing.
A stranger. That's very nice, Claire. Thank you for all your messages on that subject.
We're going to have a new Text the Nation coming up a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, but right now, here's a free play for you that we slipped in at the last minute.
This is a good... I mean, this is your choice here, Adam, but I remember the cover to this album. Am I right in saying... This is by a band called Styx. Am I right in saying that album was called Reach the Beach?
No, that's The Fix.
Oh, no!
This was a whole concept album by Styx.
The Fix.
About Mr. Roboto.
Easy mistake to make.
Sure it is.
The Fix and Styx.
I think there was an accompanying film. When I got the single of Mr. Roboto, there were stills on the back that appeared to be from some kind of film they'd made around the whole thing. I was excited, but then I heard the song. Wow! Let's hear it now. It's an epic. Styx and Mr. Roboto. It's like an opera.
I believe Adam's just noticed that this song lasts for 10 minutes.
I haven't heard it for
11
minutes.
Years.
I mean, it was a guilty pleasure when I was 15. It might be.
Do you
just...
want to? I mean, do you want to review this? Oh, no, here we go. It's kicking in. It's kicking in. Here we go.
Here we go.
He's Robert Kilroy Silk.
Kilroy all the time. Oh my God.
What the hell?
What a startling and stunning piece of news for Saturday morning. He was Kilroy all along.
He was Kilroy. And then he went off to the jungle with Anton Deck. Who would have thunk it? I mean, that is a good song.
That
I was worried.
That's a very, very good song.
When it started, I was worried, like, oh, I haven't heard this for a while.
That's a good song.
It's better than I remember.
It's amazing. The middle bit. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, domo arigato. Oh, it's just amazing.
Someone's texted in to say Polisix, who are a Japanese band that we had on our show, Adam and Joe Go Tokyo, years ago, do a cover of that.
I'm sure.
That's good.
Anyone worth his salt would do a cover of that. Bob Dylan talks about it on Theme Time Radio briefly, and that's what reminded me, actually. It's a smash. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. More music right now. This is Violent Femmes with Blister in the Sun. Nonsense, nonsense, nonsense! Yes, that's the Violent Femmes with Blister in the Sun, Adam and Joe, here on BBC Six Music. Now, we had a couple of people emailing us today about a show that I hadn't seen hitherto, and it was called Two Greedy Italians.
Right.
It's one of those shows where they team up unlikely
pair. It's one of those shows.
I've just got some carrots stuck in my windpipe. Can you cover for a second?
Sure. Hi, it's Adam and Joe, BBC Six Music. Coming up later on the show, Adam Buxton will be talking about... Was that okay?
Yeah, it was interesting to hear what I was going to be talking about.
Well, I cut it off before I had to actually commit to something.
So here's a message from Jonathan. He's a man in London. He says, imagine my... He calls us, incidentally, Dear Bucks and Balls. Nice. Mm. Imagine my surprise to discover Her Madge, the Queen of England, co-presenting a cooking show with Antonio Carluccio on a castle programme. It's called Two Greedy Italians, which seemed odd, but close your eyes and watch it. It's fantastic to hear the Queen so engrossed in her grub. And this isn't actually Antonio right now. It is, what's the name of the guy again?
Gennaro Contaldo.
Gennaro Contaldo is his co-presenter, and here's a little clip of him in action.
Here I have this fantastic beef with a bit of fat inside as well, a bit grizzled, that is nice big fat which is cooked, and I'm going to cut it quite rough. This particular one you can make it with any kind cheap cut of meat. Then I'm going to seal the meat. Now let me explain what the seal the meat is. You make sure that meat just get browning all outside. And then we'll cook. When it's browning, we'll actually seal it outside, but slowly, slowly, when you actually cook, release all the goodness from inside.
That's amazing.
It's like a cross that between the Queen and Super Mario.
Wow. Is that... I mean, does the Queen have any Italian blood?
You would think, doesn't it?
Because they're doing very similar things, the way words are run into one another.
Is that
I
right?
mean, he's only really bothering with the centre syllable of each word.
Sure. And then it splits a word. It comes to any word and it splits a word outside.
And then that just that buoyancy, that excitement, that you know, I mean, he's so excited about what he's saying, he's almost not bothering to say it.
Cut the lovely slice of beef. Beef. He got some beef.
Let's hear a little clip again.
A bit grizzled, that is nice, big fat, which is cool. And that kind of cut it quite rough.
Do you know what I'd like to hear?
What?
I'd like to hear like a scene from that show with you replacing Antonio Carluccio with the Queen.
Right.
So it's the Queen co-presenting with that guy. So you could just redo Carluccio's lines in the Queen voice, and that would be astonishing.
Right, I'll get to work on that for next week's show.
Wickles.
That's amazing. Thanks to everyone who pointed that out. Someone else was Gav in Savage, or is he called Gav Savage? Thank you very much for pointing that out.
What a brilliant name, Gav Savage.
Gav Sav. Gav Sav.
He should present a show on Six Music.
Gavage Savage. What kind of music would you play?
Punk.
Angry music.
Yeah, punk.
Punk. I was trying to think of other kind of shows like the, you know, Two Greedy Italians that they might be coming up with, because that seems to be a never-ending source of cooking fun. Like, you've got the Two Fat Ladies.
The Terry Bikers.
The Hairy Bikers. I was thinking Skinbird and Yum Yums.
What about something...
You're not asking
sorry?
Me about Skinbird and Yum Yums.
Skinbird and Yum Yums.
Yeah.
Who is Skinbird and Yum Yums?
Well, okay, I'm glad you asked. Skinbird is a model, beautiful model.
Right.
But she really...
Skinbird.
Yes.
Sounds a little bit sexist.
Exactly.
Right.
And Yum Yums is a big fat chap.
Oh.
And he can't... He just will eat anything, so he's after, like, burgers and stuff, and but then...
She has a very fine... diet. She likes slimming food. She looks after her weight.
Exactly.
That's an exciting, dramatic
contrast.
It's a fun
show. So, you know, what kind of things will they agree on?
Drama is conflict, right?
And how about two toddlers hopped up on snacks?
And they go round the country in pushchairs, in motorised pushchairs, very, very fast. And what are they just looking for?
They're just
stuff they find on the pavement, like old lollies.
Right, old lollies and bits of junk food.
That's very good.
And they feed them fizzy pop and stuff, and then they just go mentile.
Okay, that's Text the Nation this week. New concepts for cooking shows.
That isn't actually Text the Nation.
Why can't it be?
Can't it be?
Let's make it.
Really?
You've just done it. You've just launched Text the Nation. Don't you think?
What do we think, James?
New concepts for cooking shows. We're going to talk about this. That's not, you know, that's not official.
All right, then. We'll sit on that one for a while. But right now, here's Death Cab for Cutie with You're a Tourist. You're a Tourist. Death Cab for Cutie, Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. So, yeah, we thought, you know, we kind of accidentally launched Text the Nation there in the last linky. So let's have the jingle, James.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
And we were talking about Two Greedy Italians, which is a show with two very...
Greedy Italians.
Greedy Italians with a kind of a crazy way of speaking. Let's just hear the clip one more time, the show one there, James.
A bit grizzled, that is nice, big fat, which is cool. And I'm going to cut it quite rough. Quite rather inside the beef. Oh, the beef are nice and lovely. It's lots of beef and a little bit of gravy in it.
That's extraordinary, extraordinary. Got an interesting email here. It's maybe not the right time to read it out. Sarah, no, who's it from? Sarah Di Marzio. I have a comedy Italian dad. I've spent the last 39 years convinced he was putting on an accent, so the greedy Italians have vindicated him. He could be one of them. He's obsessed with mushrooms and becomes emotional about ham.
There
it
you go.
A very Italian thing.
It could be on the ham. Look at the beautiful ham you got in here. Oh, it's a nice glass, a beautiful glass in the ham.
That's the kind of thing that happens in Sarah's house.
No, make a nice sandwich with the ham.
The idea for Text the Nation is for you to send us your ideas for high concept cookery shows, because there's a hell of a lot of them about the hairy bikers.
Two toddlers hopped up on snacks. Also, I had Tubby in the feeder.
The title is essential, isn't it?
Yeah.
A really compelling title. Tell us about Tubby and the feeder. I mean,
Tubby and the feeder is a kind of lardy bloke who goes out with a skinny bird who's always giving him snacks.
Sounds similar to Lardy Bloke and Skinny Bird.
It is. It's based on that. It's a spin-off.
It's a spin-off. Has he got the same presenters?
Well, I was thinking instead of Tubby and the feeder, you instead of him going out with the girl, you have Tubby and Mummy. And so he goes around and Mummy's the one, because they go, you're looking very skinny, even when you're not. And they say, you should have a cake. Look, I made you a cake. Oh, I'm trying to eat less cakes, Mum. And they say, no, you have to eat the cake, otherwise you'll waste away. You just think, what are you doing, Mum? Do you want me to be unattractive to
there's
the entire...
There's a lot of human drama in this programme.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
That's what you want, isn't it?
That's what you want.
What's your... I mean, do you ever watch these shows? I watched Hairy Bikers by accident once, and it was quite...
I've watched Hairy Bikers. Yeah. It's quite good. My lady friend likes that kind of show.
Yeah.
There's one called Britain's Best Dish or something on at the moment, isn't there? With, like... I don't know. No, the answer is no, I don't watch
them. It's not
a
buddy show, though.
I don't know what it is.
Because we're talking specifically about the... It seems to be pears.
I did watch Scare the Hair.
Scare the Hair?
That's a different flipping topic.
I saw that as well.
But listen, we'll just confuse people. So we're after your ideas for high-concept cookery shows. It's all about the title, and it's all about the sort of juxtaposition of crazy presenters and the task you give them, right?
Yeah. Skinbird.
You got any more?
No, I peaked at Skinbird and Yum Yums.
You did. It was a very high peak.
Get those coming in.
The text number is 64046. The email is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. And remember, if you don't think of anything brilliant now, you still submit your thoughts during the week, and they may appear in Retro Text the Nation in the podcast. No, what? Yeah, no, next week in the show.
What you said. Yeah. MGMT now, from their album of last year, Congratulations, says here on our fun fact sheet, the band once performed dressed as the gang from Scooby-Doo. Is that a good thing?
It's wacky.
Wacky. This is It's Working by MGMT. How do you pronounce that? Allo Black. Black. Allo Black. I Need a Dollar. That is called. Very nice stuff. Indeed, Adam Buxton here with Joe Cornish on the Big British Castle digital station number 6. And very pleased to be with you this afternoon. Now we've got a sort of bumper travelling tales
morning
section.
This morning. This morning. It's not the afternoon yet. You said this afternoon, the morning. We haven't pushed through the noon barrier.
I thought you were just saying morning.
Morning.
Have we not pushed through the noon barrier?
No.
I hadn't heard the pop.
Exactly, but you said good afternoon.
Sorry about that.
I mean, we would have got a lot of letters.
Let's have a Travelling Tales jingle.
Travelling tales, tales of travelling on a train or an automobile or an aeroplane. I want to know what your travelling tales
are. All aboard the Skylark!
Very loud.
It's good. It's an aggressive, very aggressive, aggressively fun jingle.
Now, we're going to have a couple of Travelling Tales sections in the show today, because we've got sort of two areas of Travelling Tales appearing. One, just various random Travelling Tales.
There'll
about
be a lot of tales to tell.
Oh, so many tales to tell about the travel.
Oh, there are.
And another area that is crazy train announcers, right? And this is turning into a bit of a thing with people identifying...
But this is exciting. This is a really exciting development that's happened in this narrative, this story, about this amazing train driver. Are you going to talk us through this?
Well, we're going to listen to him in just a second, but here's another one now. This is from Ben. He says, "Greetings! I took this recording many years ago. This fantastic train manager, or conductor, always made me smile when he was on the tannoy, so I was very pleased that I managed to get him on tape. Apologies for the sound quality." You have to wait for the end to really get the full force of his personality. Bear in mind that this recording was taken during the day, probably around 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I believe it was the Bristol to Swansea train, but it was so long ago I can't really remember. But this is Nigel, the train manager, in action. Here he is.
Hello everyone, this is Nigel, retail service manager speaking. Just to let you know that the shop is still open. And we've still those lovely hot snacks, cold snacks, hot drinks, cold drinks, crisps, nuts, sweets, headsets for the onboard entertainment, books, magazines, playing cards, as I said on several occasions. So come on down, the Price is Right. Be pleased to serve you. Thank you. Night, night.
Hey, look at that.
He gets a little chuckle there.
Wow,
from
of course
the passages.
He does. Of course he does. He was describing almost every single item in the shop.
I think he made a few up as well.
Clean bye cards. Bye.
Thank you. Night night. He says
we did that.
End.
We did that on an old show, didn't we? Ways to say goodbye, ways to sign off.
Mm.
Bye. But that's a good one. I haven't quite heard it sung in that way before.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he really lifted the spirits of that train, don't you think?
It sounded like a party on the train.
What a great guy.
But the thing is that I should say at this point before we continue with these clips, I am someone who is naturally not that much of a fan of that kind of behaviour.
Why?
Because I am grumpy and a grumpy man and I like peace and quiet!
So it would depend on how often he does that. Yeah. I mean, basically he had... Oh,
whoa!
No, I've spilled my drink all over
fizzy
the desk.
Fizzy pop spillage.
Basically he had... Keep talking.
Yeah.
Basically he had not much to say, did he? He was saying the shop is still open.
Shop's still open and he's the manager. And
I can't believe it. It's fizzy Coke as well and it's gone everywhere. Oh no, sticky disaster.
Missed the keyboard, luckily.
Oh, no.
Well, listen, let's have another clip though while
no,
the,
we can do this.
Clean-up team come in.
Clip. I thought you were going to throw to a record.
No. This is from Sergeant Mark Brown, Leeds Light Infantry Black Squadron, and he says, "Dearest Dr. Buckles and Head Surgeon Cornballs, I'm writing to you with special news. Last Sunday evening, I happened to be travelling from Peckham Rye to London Bridge, engrossed in a portable telephone conversation with a friend. I paid little attention to the announcement on boarding the train. Then, out of the corner of my ear, it dawned on me that the strange man that it was the strange man slash robot that has featured in the past two shows. I aborted the telephone chat." These are clips that we played of the train announcer on this Peckham train. "I aborted the telephone chat with immediate effect. I have a clip for your pleasure and interview with said announcer." So Mark went up to the train announcer, as we had asked people to do, and had a little chat with him. So here's what happened.
"Excuse me.
Yeah.
Could you tell me, is it you does the voice announcement?
Yeah.
It is. Do you realise that you're becoming famous on the radio?
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, which one?
A show called Adam and Joe.
And what station is that on?
It's on Six Music on a Saturday morning.
Oh, really?
You've been on twice now. And
what?
People
actually record it?
Yeah, people are recording you. And it's on the radio. They've had a debate whether you're actually a recorded voice. Or a real person. If you tune in at 10, you become a member of Black Squadron, an elite listening force, but that was between me and you.
Okay.
I think you're going to become famous.
Okay.
That's amazing, Sergeant Mark Brown. Good work. He should get some kind of award.
Well, he's immediately given a special Black Squadron commendation.
As are the Adam and Joe team here, who have rushed in with lots of... napkins to clean up the spillage. Thank you very much indeed.
That's incredible, though. What an amazing guy. And he'd clearly heard of the show. He was just being modest.
Of course he was. His name, the driver, is Ralph Zanellotti. He's been a train driver in and around London for the last 3 years. And I think, do we have another clip of Ralph? Here we go.
"Welcome aboard the 10 o'clock Six Music service to Adam and Joe via the Big British Castle."
No way.
So he reined himself in a little bit there, because sometimes when he says Peckham, it's Peckham. Peckham. Rye. But we got our own little jingle there from Mr. Zanellotti.
That is incredible. We're very privileged. Thank you. And what an amazing job you do. We salute you.
Absolutely. We're going to have a bit more travelling tales later on in the show. But right now it's 11:30 and it's time for the news.
Madness with embarrassment. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Hope you're doing well, listeners, in all aspects of your lives.
I'm gonna fire off a little quiz right now, Joe, for you. I want you to respond to the following questions as honestly and fully as possible. How do you respond in the following situations? Someone says, this is the "you look well" quiz, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone says, "you look well." How do you respond?
Hey, thanks. Thanks a lot. So do you.
Right, so you reciprocate immediately.
I reciprocate, yeah.
And would you reciprocate even if they didn't look well, even if they had, like, their nose hanging off?
No, what I would do is I would hesitate, or my voice would waver while I say, you look well.
You look well.
I'd push it slightly too hard, so it was clear that they didn't.
Right.
But that would be inadvertent.
And then what do you do if you proffer a you look well, but you don't get one in return? Do you feel a bit hurt by that?
Possibly.
Do you maybe fish for the you look well? You say something
sometimes.
Like,
I get told I look tired a lot.
Right, I
look
that.
Tired. My dad tells me I look tired a lot. Yeah. And he's probably listening. So
some people,
I love it.
Just look tired. I've figured that out in my life.
Do you think?
I think I just look tired. I'm just a tired guy. But there, I mean, I know there have been moments where I don't look tired.
I think it's a euphemism for you're getting old.
Right. You look rough. That's basically what I think. When people say that to me, I just think, thanks, you've told me I look
quite
ugly.
How am I doing on the quiz, though?
You're doing well. I'm glad that you reciprocate with the you look well. I don't like people who don't. You know,
you must reciprocate.
You always reciprocate.
It's like offering someone a drink when they come around to your house. Don't say no to the drink.
No. But then
it is
tricky sometimes if people really don't look well and you feel like you have to reciprocate with a very insincere, you. You know,
well, I would switch it up. I would go for something like, "Oh, great to see you!
Right,
it's so good to see you."
Sure.
So you find another positive that can balance that out.
Because the other thing that sometimes happens is someone goes in with a "you look well," but you really don't feel you deserve it. You know?
Right.
And so then you think, what's their agenda?
Oh, so it's sort of counterintuitive. They're trying to make up for the fact that in their eyes is a look of horror.
Yes.
And stench.
You look well.
You look really well.
I like what you've done with your face. That's nice.
Well, so is this a quiz you've got from some magazine, or have you formulated this quiz?
No, I was just thinking about it.
Oh. So it's not like there won't be a result.
Yes, there is a result.
What's the result?
You've passed.
Oh. Wizard. That's exciting. Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
It's tricky because sometimes you think, well, they're just saying you look well. You sort of think, are you insane because I don't look well? Or are you just trying to be crawly? Are you fishing for one back?
What do you say if it's a beautiful woman and it's a special event and the woman has clearly, or it could be a man, but has clearly made a sartorial effort?
Mm-hmm.
You look fantastic.
That's a slightly different thing,
it's
isn't
different.
It?
You look wonderful.
I think, because that's acceptable flirting, isn't it? Making a comment on how great a woman looks when she's clearly made an effort. And you're allowed to mention
lovely.
It.
Lovely.
Well, if you say it like that,
you
it's different.
You look absolutely fantastic. You've made a real effort.
Oh,
and
God,
I tell you what.
Look at you. You look good enough to chew. You've made a special effort, and let me tell you, it's paid off.
Ka-ching.
Look at your décolletage. That's very good. Oh, look at the way the dress is hanging off you in all parts. Well done, may I say. A round of applause.
What if the person has made a special sartorial effort and it's a disaster, but they don't know it? They swan into a party, their hair's over to the left, the dress is green and poo-coloured.
Did you mention that?
And
what happened there?
What?
Would you say that to the person?
No, you'd go, you look amazing.
You look a disaster. Because people sometimes...
Well, candidness is the other tricky thing. Mm. And this used to happen when I was a teenager and I had terrible spots. We've discussed this before.
Mm-hmm.
There would be a certain person who would come up to you and go, look at that enormous zit.
Look at that huge strawberry on the end of your nose.
Yeah.
Well done. And you sort of think, why would you possibly think that was a fun thing to say?
Yeah, it's not as if I haven't spent all morning desperately trying to cover it with cover-up stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And almost didn't come into school because of it.
But maybe some people would genuinely like it and get quite turned on by it.
Like in How to Get Ahead in Advertising.
Right.
Do you remember that when they try and turn a zitty girl into a pop star?
That's right.
They like fasten onto that as the latest trend.
I've got to watch that film again.
This is a very rambly link.
This is a rambly link, isn't it?
Rambly, linky, linky, link.
Let's get back on track with some music. This is Noah and the Whale. And after this, I think we'll have a bit of Text the Nation. Why not? This is Tonight's the Kind of Night. He's made the decision to say, good change. And that's kind of transformed the whole song. It becomes like the hook, in a way. Beep. Sorry, I bust in on the little reverso bit at the end there. Noah and the Whale, very nice job indeed, chaps. Give yourselves a little pat on the back there. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Let's have the Text the Nation jingle, James.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Oh, it's all gone quiet.
Deary me. Hello and welcome to Text the Nation. This week the subject is ideas for high concept cookery shows. Here are some quick fire text responses. We've had George in Leytonstone pitches Freebie and the Bean.
Well, that was a TV show. It was a cop show, right?
No. It's an old movie, Freebie and the Bean. One freeloading scruffy student type coupled with a self-righteous vegan.
Uh-huh.
So Freebie,
yeah.
The student, Bean, the vegan.
Nice.
Any good?
I like it.
Commissioned?
What, a self-righteous student with a...
One freeloading scruffy student type coupled with a self-righteous vegan. Freebie and the Bean.
Freebie and the Bean. I really like
commissioned?
It.
Commissioned?
Yes, I'm commissioned.
Commissioned. Wow, Buckley's commissions that one.
Yeah.
This is from Andrew and Sarah in Seaton. What? I think that's what they mean. In Seaton, Delaval. Don't know what that means.
They're sitting on seats.
In Delaval.
They're in Seaton.
Sweeney Toddler is the name of the show.
Nice.
A children's cookery show where the main ingredient is always human flesh.
Eaten by a toddler.
No, it's for children, but you wouldn't feed anyone the food. I mean, it's made of human flesh. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Sweeney Toddler.
I like it.
Commissioned.
Yeah.
Wow.
I commissioned most
this
things.
Is very... You're very commission happy today.
I've got a lot of money in my bags.
James in Greenwich. 12 angry men. They don't start out angry, but the logistical challenge of booking for such a large number at short notice invariably leads to arguments. They go around restaurants. They're not actually doing cooking...
I'd find
quickly,
that a little
for James.
Enervating. No.
James's production company is absolutely reliant on this commission. Is he getting commissioned?
I'm so sorry. Come back when you've honed the concept.
Terrible news for James. Here is one from an anonymous texter. My cooking idea is called Jamaican Me Hungry. A couple of people from Jamaica cook some food.
I like it.
That's from Johnny Slow. Commissioned?
I very much like it. Yes, I'm commissioning that one.
Okay, on to emails. Corinne Long. She's pitching Missy and Hissy. A stressed mother tries to feed their fussy daughter regional dishes cooked by fantastic local chefs. Every episode ends with the mum giving up and buying the daughter crisps.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Trying to introduce children to new food is always a fun thing.
But failing every week.
Yeah.
And just ending up with crisps.
Ending up with crisps, yeah. Just
I mean, people like repetition, don't
different
they?
Different ways of presenting
they
crisps.
They like familiarity.
Yeah.
And to have the same ending each week would be good. Here is one from Gillian in Salford. Her pitch is... So that's commissioned, is it?
Missy and Hissy.
Yeah.
Like it.
That's
tick.
Amazing. I mean, that's 4 or 5 commissions?
Yeah.
It's a lot of cookery shows. Are you looking for a lot of cookery shows?
You can't have enough cookery shows, you absolute moron.
One-handed cooking is the show from Gillian in Salford. One person, one
that
hand,
sexy.
Three great dishes. I was going to say something so awful then, but I didn't. Cracking an egg with one hand has always been a big... All right, I'm putting that away. Gillian, you sent that to the wrong program.
I want one-handed cooking.
You sent that to the wrong show.
I'm the one-handed chef.
We're too immature to just deal with the words one-handed. Here we go. Here is a letter from Will in Leeds. Hi, Adam and Joe. I had an idea for a restaurant that could easily translate to the TV format.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the last one.
All right.
It's called Hey Pesto. Hey Pesto. It would involve Darren Brown convincing customers they're eating fine Italian food when they're actually at home in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Later, Darren, he spelt it Darren with an O-N, would reveal the truth at their bedside only for them to leave the house and find their whole house has been moved to Italy. That's the big twist.
It's not really a cooking show. Is all I'd say. I think it sounds fun and it might be a fun special for Darren to do.
It's not looking good, Will.
But it's not really a cooking show with two lovable lunatics.
Will's got a new production company. He's hired 15 people and an office, and he's betting it all on Hey Pesto. And
they're all single mums.
They're all single mums.
Well, tough luck, mums! It's time to look for another job! Here's a free play for you right now, listeners. And this comes from something that James, our producer, pointed out to me. He gave me some CDs. Of an interview that David Bowie did in 1979 on Radio 1 when he was promoting the album Lodger. And what he did was went on there and selected a whole load of his favourite tracks that he was listening to currently and his faves of all time and spoke very briefly about each one. It's called the Star Special from 1979. And James was talking about maybe trying to get hold of it and broadcast it somehow on 6. He even got in touch with Bowie's people, and I think they said that Bowie would be happy for that to happen.
Cool.
For the show to be repeated. He picks out some amazing tracks there, and it's only frustrating that he doesn't speak at greater length about them. But here's one of the ones that's a bit more well-known he picks out from John Lennon's first solo album, Plastic Ono Band, 1970. Here's David just saying a few brief words about the track Remember. That's a good way to end a song, though, isn't it? Just a bit of, just an explosion. That was John Lennon there with Remember from 1970, the choice of David Bowie on the Star Special, first broadcast in May 1979. Mm-hmm. And I think that he probably heard that and was then inspired to write Oh, You Pretty Things. Don't you think that sort of piano figure is very reminiscent of that track?
You know what I think you're doing?
What?
I think you're trying to get serious.
I am getting
about
serious.
About Bowie, so that we kind of clear away the sort of stupidity.
The poo stench.
The poo, the sort of wizard, the wizard wizardness.
Oh, I see.
I think you're trying to not to do wizard
right.
anymore because you want to get serious because you want to position yourself for the actual Bowie encounter.
Yes.
Is that what's happening?
Subconsciously, I must
be. Subconsciously, you're trying to clean out that cupboard because you've been talking about Bowie now for a couple of minutes and there hasn't been a single wizard.
That's absolutely true. Wizard.
That's wizard, more like it.
You want a cake, what a nice bitter cake, slice. I got a cake, bitter rich chocolate cake, slice. You want some tea with the cake, had your cup for me. You eat your cake while I fill up your cup with tea.
We're through the noon barrier, ladies and gentlemen. And that was Woohoo by the 5678s. Need to work a little bit harder on the lyrics there, guys.
That's a lot of stupid noises.
We need to pay a little bit more attention to the words.
It's probably just for little kids.
Think about what you want to say and then mate. Write it down, mate. What?
Mate? Yeah. No, I'm just saying. Oh. Mate?
Mate? Mate?
I'm not asking you anything.
Here's a message from Richard Soden. Do you remember a while back you clipped out all the oohs and ahs from
yes,
an episode of The Archers?
I made a very erotic episode of The Archers just by cutting out all the actual words and leaving in the...
That's right. Mm-hmm. He says, and Richard Soden calls us Stretch and Furry.
Wow, people are being very inventive with their name-anizing.
How do you feel about Stretch and Furry?
I like it. Well, that's things we've called each other in the past.
Yo, Stretch.
Yo, Furry.
One guy.
Hey, Long Shanks.
Head in the clouds.
In one of these Podmax episodes, says Richard Soden. Sorry, I'm just going to start that again for the podcast, idea. James. In one of the Podmax podcast episodes, Joe's extracted oohs and ahs and sighs from an episode of The Archers put a whole new spin on my farm-based listening pleasure. But enough! Is enough!
Ooh.
Those dirty, dirty writers at Radio 4 have pushed the boat out too far. Last week's Omnibus edition is full of innuendo and smut. Dirty, dirty smut.
Sounds disgraceful.
You only need to add a little dirty music, and you've got the makings of a Robin Asquith XXX feature. In fact, I might well do it. Well, he kindly supplied the time codes, so I did it instead. Thank you very much, Richard Soden, and here's what the results were.
We're having some of Tom's pork.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
I'll just go and give Tony a call.
Yeah, he's in the yard doing something to a tractor.
Two family members on the PC again.
Yes, let's hope so.
Still needs a lot of work with the wire wall before we're ready to start.
Yes, I see.
It has to be absolutely clean and shiny.
So, lots of polishing.
Yes.
Are you in?
Yep.
I hope it wasn't too awkward for you.
No, Jill, it was fine. Thank you for picking me up.
So how was it?
It's got dozens of different shades.
It goes hard in the kiln?
Yes, almost like magic. Comes out very smooth and shiny and delicate.
Oh, that does sound interesting.
Yes.
Come on.
That's disgusting.
That is absolutely filthy. That is the dirtiest program.
Wire wool.
The other day, I was listening to the radio and I heard the dirtiest program I have ever heard. It was called The Archers.
Who was that from?
That was from Richard Soden.
Richard, well done. That was amazing.
Good effort, Richard Soden. Thank you very much. If you find anything else similarly dirty out there,
we're going to become the new sort of Mary Whitehouse.
Yeah.
We're looking, for innuendo, where you wouldn't expect it.
Mm.
Any kind of dirt or filth out there, please send it in so we can play it and stamp it out.
Oh, I interrupted your funny voice there, and you very well just sort of paused it. waited for me to finish and then picked it up again. That was good.
Thank you very much. Stamp it, stamp it, stamp it!
Right now, here's Otis Redding with Carla Thomas and Tramp.
I'm a lover.
Mama was. Papa too. I know, that's how babies are born.
That was Carla Thomas with Otis Redding and Tramp, Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Now, here's a feature. It's more of a featurette that we haven't had for a very long time here on the programme. And I think the jingle kind of says it all, so let's fire off the jingle.
I like to change the lyrics of songs from time to time.
Lock the taskbar.
To make them refer to things I do.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I call it appropriation, and as far as I'm aware, it isn't a crime. I wonder if it's something you do too.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's right. Pop-opriation.
Who is that singer?
Donald Fagen.
Really?
From Steely Dan, yes.
Wow.
There you go.
Like it.
Asked him if he had some time. He said, yep. And that's what he came up with. Here's one from John in Westbury, Submendip. And he says, hi, Adam and Joe. I just caught myself doing some pop-appropriation. Instead of singing Hello Dolly by Louis Armstrong upon meeting my sister's dogs, I sing Hello Doggies. Well, hello Doggies.
That's
so that's
good.
Kind of a nice little fun, simple one.
Because it's
there.
A sort of a doggy voice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's very good. That's got extra connectivity.
Exactly. Armstrong's got the doggy voice.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a Jazz Boggins.
He's like, exactly. Like a slightly more fragrant Jazz Boggins. Do you think if we, you know, married Boggins and some sort of French horn,
yeah.
I could think of where to pop it?
That is so nice to have you back where you belong. You're looking swell, Dolly. I can't tell. Dolly, I'm still stinking, you're still thinking that smells quite
I think
strong.
An album of Boggins covering like classic Louis Armstrong would sell like hotcakes this Christmas.
I feel the band playing.
Do a bit of Wonderful World.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful smell. I love you.
So thank you very much to John in Westbury Submendip for that one. Here's one from Nick Clark. Do you think it's Nicky Clark?
It's Nick Clegg.
It's Nick Clegg.
In a pseudonym.
When going through airport security these days, I'm always asked whether I have in my possession any liquids, gels or pastes, which I then like to sing to the tune of Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves by Cher for the whole of the subsequent flight. Liquids, gels and pastes, please can you ensure they're not in your suitcase?
That's good.
And finally, for pop-appropriation this week, we've got one from Mac, long-time listener, first-time contributor, also a man person from Swiss Slack Squadron, Basel Division.
Lots of good contextual detail.
Mm. Dear Dr. Buckley's and Sir Cornobulus Balls.
Yes, thank you, at last. At last, my full official title. Someone's looked me up in Debrett's.
That's right. A little bit of pop-appropriation I enjoy on a regular basis is thusly. When I feel hungry, I like to sing to the tune of I Want You from the Beatles' Abbey Road. I want food. Do, 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 do. I want food. I want food so bad.
Don't like that
one. It's driving me mad. It's driving me mad.
I want food so bad. I want food so bad. It's driving me mad. It's driving me. She's so hungry.
I'm staging an intervention.
All right. That'll mean nothing if you don't know that track. But good effort there, Mac, from Basel Division. Division? Basel? Is it pronounced Basel?
Basel Division. Yeah, that's how it's pronounced.
Basel Division. Swiss Slack Squadron. And if you've got any more pop-appropriation that you'd like to supply us through the week, please send them in. Email address. Ye email address is adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. And that's the address for anything. Text the Nation, Retro Text the Nation, Pop-appropriation, Travelling Tales, Beefs, Spats,
Whiffles, Waffles, or Chods.
And here is Overkill River.
Imagine the post we're going to get.
Sorry, I came out by accident.
Ryder.
I called them Overkill River. They're Ockerville River. It's one of those things you see written down and your brain simply won't process it any other way, like shopfitters and shoplifters on the side of a van. Do you get that?
Mm.
Anyway, here's a free play for you right now, listeners. And this is one of the many songs that I've enjoyed discovering on Bob Dylan's Theme Time Radio Hour, which I've mentioned before, even today. I'm sort of going through all those programs one by one. It's amazing if you've never heard it. We broadcast them on Six Music a while back. And you can buy them on CD, I think. But he's got so many good little nuggets that he pops in there. And his links are a joy. I'm going to maybe pull some out for you next week with Garth and play them for you. But this is a track that I heard on there by a guy called King Stitt, a.k.a. Winston Sparks. He was born with a facial deformity and so decided that a good thing to do if he wanted a kind of thing for a recording career to hang a career on would be just to call himself the Ugly One. And so do loads of stuff about the fact that he reckoned he was the Ugly One. And so he has formed a kinship in his mind with Lee Van Cleef, star of The Good, The Bad and The Ugly, of course. And so this track starts off with him kind of telling Clint Eastwood that he's rot. I think that's what he says. Clint Eastwood is rot! And then he says, I am Lee Van Cleef! And it starts off, and the track is quite chirpy, and he's basically right the way through just saying, die! 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 Which you don't get on too many pop songs these days. King Stitt with Lee Van Cleef.
It still sounds as challenging and as avant-garde and out there as it did the day it was released. That's the Sugar Cubes with Birthday. Bjork singing on top.
Who's that supposed to be?
I don't know. I started speaking that way and didn't really think it through.
We're going to have another little traveller's tale because we got a good issue here to think about. Have a jingle.
Have a travelling tales, travelling tales, tales of travelling on the train or an automobile or an aeroplane. I want to know what your travelling tales.
All aboard the Skylark!
Oh, I mean, it's a good jingle. I mean, it is a good jingle.
You know what I did this week?
You look really well.
Thanks, so do you.
That's a good jingle.
Thank you very much.
Here we go. Here's an interesting situation that's come in from a person called Please Advise. There's no name on this. Maybe we could find out the name of this person. Dear Adam and Joe, what is the right thing to do in this situation? I get on a bus. It's very busy. I go upstairs. The only free seat is right at the back, next to a lady, who, because I'm married, I do not notice has silky hair, and perfect skin, and ruby red lips which seem to kiss themselves. She moves her handbag so I can sit next to her. That's nice of her. What a nice lady. We sit next to each other for 5 minutes. Then the bus reaches a big tube station where nearly everybody gets off. Now the top deck is almost empty. There's no reason for me to be sitting next to the lady. I'm sure she would like me to move. If there was a hairy man sitting next to me, I'd want him to move. But what if I moved and she thought I hated sitting next to her? Wouldn't that hurt her feelings? If I stay, will she think I fancy her? I don't, because I'm married. I'm feeling increasingly uncomfortable. There's no way I'm going to make eye contact with her now. I need to work out her mood from the tiny area of physical contact. Is her right thigh trying to politely shrink away from my left thigh? I think so. It's hard to advise. It's hard to tell. Please advise.
Wow.
Now, that is a quandary that I have as well. It happens on the underground when you get into a very full carriage and the carriage clears out and you find yourself sitting right next to another person and there's no need for you to have that proximity. What do you do? Do you move and thereby insult the person?
In these situations, and you can extrapolate, you know, and you can say that this applies to a lot of things in life, honesty is the best policy.
Right.
You just state the subtext. So you just say...
talk to the person.
Yeah, you just say, right, I'll stretch out, give you a bit of room.
Yeah, and, that's a good point. This communication is coming from Simon.
Simon, I would say that is one tactic. And actually, you've said it yourself. I know what you're saying. You don't really want to upset the girl. And somewhere in your mind as well is the chance that maybe she doesn't want you to move.
You can go the other way, which is take advantage of the fact that you're now alone.
And then climb on top of her.
Yes, swing a leg over. And you do it, it's like when you yawn. You yawn and then you put the arm around. The other thing to do is just to cross your legs like that, but take the leg a bit too far and go right over her legs.
Oh, sorry, my legs
are... I'm terribly sorry, I've accidentally straddled you. But it doesn't matter, no one has seen, neither of us can be embarrassed. Let's go! And when I'm saying let's go, you know what I mean. Yeah. Let's go.
Let's go to
very
jail.
Very assertive.
let's go to prison.
No, you don't do anything then unless she goes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or she might just smack, probably punch you in the face and knee you in the bits and bobs.
Mace you.
But so there's two ways to go there, Simon.
Wow. You're married, though. Bottom line, Simon, is you move away immediately from that attractive
move
woman.
Move away from the attractive woman. Don't sit down next to her in the first place.
No, step away. You should stand off of the seat to a little hobbit or something, and just don't even get into that situation. Stay away from attractive people.
Taking public transport is so difficult.
It really is.
There's so many problems.
Here's another message to illustrate that fact vividly. This is from Beth Richmond. Dear Adam and Joe, it was a very snowy morning and I was on my way to work. All the trains were cancelled and there was a bus replacement service to another station. Irritated by the disruption, I got on the bus and got comfortable. There was no one sitting next to me. Result, I began to relax and read my book. Then a woman walked on and took the seat to my right. I was outraged. Not only did she choose the seat next to me, but she had a drink that was very smelly, and she had a cold and was coughing a lot. Mm. She was also wearing a hat, which in my frustrated state, I found very annoying as it had ears. I felt that only children should wear hats with animal ears, so I was incensed, as you can imagine. I decided that I needed to tell someone about this annoying situation, so I began to text my boyfriend to tell him what a horrible morning I was having and how it had been topped off by this woman sitting next to me with a smelly drink, a cough, and a silly hat with ears, even though she must have been at least 25 years old. As my thumb hovered over the send button, the woman next to me leaned over and said, in a very harsh tone, "I can't help having a cough. And actually, I'm 35, not 25. I was stunned. She then said, "And I can wear what I like." I was utterly, utterly, utterly shocked and angered that she had read my text. But the strongest emotion was embarrassment that I'd been caught out texting by a total stranger. About that stranger. We sat in silence for another 3 excruciating minutes. I felt that I had to respond to her comments in some way. So I said, "Well, at least I thought that you were 10 years younger than you actually are." She forced a thin smile. We then had to sit next to each other on that bus for a further 30 minutes, me pretending to read my book, but crying inside. We then got off the bus and proceeded to get on the packed train and had to stand next to each other for another 30 minutes. I will never text about strangers ever again. Wow. Thanks for reading this out.
Very good thinking for the old, I thought you were younger than you were.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very good to pull a positive out of that melange.
That is a disaster area, isn't it?
It is a disaster. Listen, the best thing to do, listeners, our advice, don't leave the house.
For goodness sake, stay inside! Well, I was going to throw to the news then, but it's a little early and no one wants early news. You know, there's only one thing worse than bad news, and that's early news. I'll take this opportunity to say, don't forget, listeners, that we have a podcast available of this show. James Sterling, our wonderful producer, our Sterling producer even, is going to edit it and put it up on the internet. That's what I was looking for. Later today, that's right, isn't it, James? And I will be in my shed later on this evening with a glass of fine wine and a candle. A number of candles. I like special candles, and I'll be wearing just a bathrobe.
You realise you will eventually be lost in a shed fire.
You reckon?
Yeah, one evening on the news, it'll be terrible. Shed. What's the word?
Yeah, I know the word you mean.
Conflagration.
Conflagration is exactly
is
right.
It?
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's not a conurbation. That's a collection of towns. Conflagration.
Is that right?
It is, yes, yes. And fire crews arrived too late. The only sound they could hear from inside...
You'll be drunk and you'll be so self-absorbed.
The sound of chuckling from Dr. Yeah. Buckles.
You'll be so dangerously, lethally self-absorbed.
As he listened to himself on the podcast.
You'll have inserted your head right into the cupboard.
12:30, it's time for the news.
Hi, this is Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. And that was my song. And I'm going to be on Sean Keaveney's breakfast show on Monday, chatting to Matt Everett from the station. And I'm going to be talking about the...
Is this disrespectful?
Possibly in quite a few ways.
I'm joking. Brian Wilson, he's a music legend and, of course, responsible for that track that we just heard. And he is talking to, I mean, this is a big deal. Matt Everett was chatting to him, and it's going to be played out on Sean Keaveney's show on Monday, talking about the reissue of Smile. And he's going to be talking as well about the art of producing and his drive to write new songs and whether he'll ever perform again with the remaining Beach Boys lineup, and all that can be heard on Monday. That's exciting. I wonder which reissue of Smile it is, because there was one that came out a few years back where he'd recreated all the songs, in my view, somewhat pointlessly. I wonder if this one is going back to the original recordings that they started and then abandoned back in the 60s. I'll be interested to find out. Sean Keaveney's show on Monday. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Now, we got a few messages in about the new series of The Apprentice that's on. Have you been watching, Joe?
I've missed it so far, but the messages say that one of the contestants possibly looks a bit like me. People have said that about, very flatteringly, I think, because I think it's patently ridiculous, about Fernando Torres, the football man. But I like that because it's flattering. He's sure. A sexy man.
Well, this guy is handsome as well. Vincent Dasnier?
No, Dasnier.
Dasnier.
He's the sort of opposite of Disney. Right. He's like Walt Disney's arrogant, cynical brother, Dasnier.
Dasnier.
Walt Dasnier world. You go to, it's the rides are broken, and you can push off.
The wonderful,
I don't know,
world.
He's not even foreign. I haven't seen it. That's not an impression of him. I haven't seen it.
Well, we've got a little clip of him, actually, I think. Should we see if he sounds anything like Cornballs?
Smart, vivacious, ambitious, extremely passionate, a perfectionist, someone who likes to occasionally show off. I have an unprecedented amount of business acumen. I'm a proven model in my industry. I'm best of breed within it. I am currently shortlisted as the best sales personality of the year.
I am Six Music's number one DJ. I have hairs that are individually polished. My nose is at an angle that was approved by Michelangelo.
I'm over 8.5 feet tall. I am considered to be the best at talking by all human beings.
I have the most capacious pockets in Britain. I have knees that are electronic. I have recently been proven to be the best in 58 different fields of business. I have 45,000 secretaries and a company that is the...
And I have laser buttocks.
Thank you for rescuing me there with laser buttocks.
You're welcome. Anytime. My laser buttocks have rescued many people in their time. So that's Vincent Dasnier. Thank you very much to Wilhelm.
I'm flattered, though, that he's a handsome, thrusting man. And in fact, I've got the Apprentice BBC website up here. And the main photo of Disneyland, Walt Disney, doesn't look very like me, but there's a little one in the bottom corner that rather does. Because he's looking a bit toothy and
he's got similar hair to you. He's got the slightly, and I don't mean this in a bad way, Richard Madeley hair.
Yeah, no, very true. I often say to my lady girlfriend that I look like Richard Madeley. My hair does go very Richard Madeley.
I like it.
I'm going to just go Richard Madeley soon. I'm going to turn into Richard Madeley.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
No bad thing. He's a very sexy man.
I like him so much. Joe Martin also pointed that out. She's a female, Joe, in Deptford. And it's a good series. I didn't realise it had started again. But I went in there, series number, you know, program number 2, bang, iPhone apps or, you know, smartphone apps.
Oh, is that what they're inventing?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds quite fun.
It was a peach.
You know what I miss?
What?
Her hair is like a cloud.
Sure, Mountford.
It's just not the same.
You reckon?
Without Margaret.
But the other two are still very good. And what's the name of the ex-football manager lady?
Ronty.
Ronty. I'm pretty sure it's not Ronty.
Ronty Bags? Of course it is. Ronty Bagg,
Karen Brady.
Oh, of course. Sorry, yeah. I was thinking.
She's
of
very nice
show indeed.
But you know, it is upsetting when they get rid of the regulars. Like, have you been watching Britain's Got Talent?
No.
With the weird lineup of judges they've got there.
Yeah, sure. I've seen enough of it with McIntyre and the Hoff and
McIntyre.
Holden.
Not undercover.
Ratings have plummeted.
Oh,
is
really?
What I heard.
I thought McIntyre was doing a great job, and the crowd was behind him and everything. But boy, there's a big cowl-shaped hole there. And it tips it over to have Hoff as the kind of center of attention. When Hoff is the anchor of your show, you got a problem with your show! I think. Anyway.
Wow, it's like Taffin all over again.
The other thing that people pointed out.
We're going to come to that, though, are we, a bit later? We got some Taffin fun?
So we have a little Taffin trailer here right now. If you go on the internet, you might find something slightly Taffin.
No, this is a bit sudden for James. He can't find the Taffin thing. We'll build up to the
Taffin
thing.
His fingers are panicking.
We'll come back to the Taffin thing.
Here we go, Taffin trailer.
For Pierce Brosnan, the role of Mark Taffin is unlike any other he has portrayed. Brosnan is riveting as the hired enforcer, a complex character who by equal turns is both good and evil.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Pierce Brosnan is Taffin.
Why has that got the music from that Annika Rice programme where she goes and hunts all the... Do you remember that old Channel 4 show with Annika Rice?
Yes!
Play that once more, that's got the music from that on underneath it.
Is it?
Listen.
For Pierce Brosnan, the role of Mark Taffin is unlike any other he has portrayed. Brosnan is riveting as the hired enforcer, a complex character who by equal turns...
The one where she runs around in a jumpsuit.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Treasure Hunt, wasn't it?
Pierce Brosnan is Taffin.
Was he called Treasure Hunt?
Yeah, where she was always in a helicopter.
That's the music from Treasure Hunt,
in a jumpsuit.
Da, 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 da.
We need our experts on this one.
You know, get Shazam onto that.
The other thing that was pointed out about The Apprentice by Peter Fellows and others was, well, Peter Fellows says, I know you're both avid viewers of The Apprentice and fondly recall the songs you did a few years ago, in particular the one about Margaret Mountford, who's sadly no longer on the show. You may have noticed during The Apprentice You're Fired on Wednesday, in the montage of footage, Lord Sugar says, nonsense! In a very similar manner to how Adam has been recently, he says. Please play a clip so other listeners will notice. Here we go.
Where is your brain?
That's nonsense.
That's nonsense. Because it's a disgrace.
Nonsense, nonsense, nonsense!
You're fired. You're fired.
That is nonsense.
You're fired.
Oh, that's nonsense.
Is it? Nonsense, nonsense, nonsense!
No, but the nonsense button's gone off.
So there was one nonsense from Sugar at the top there.
I was confused. We put a lot of our own nonsenses in
there.
And
then it was flooded with our own nonsense.
In order to sort of shore up the point. It was good, though. He said the word nonsense in an angry voice. And that's good enough for me.
Thank you very much, Peter Fellows, for pointing that out. And I will be watching The Apprentice eagerly again this Wednesday to find out what they get up to.
I will not. Like that's balance. That's balance.
That's balance. That's balance. Well, you're going to be in the United States.
Exactly. So I will not.
America. Congratulations. Here's some more music right now. Listeners, this is Friendly Fires with Live Those Days Tonight. That is a melding of a number of...
A melding?
Yeah, I've created that word. Of a number of kind of sounds and genres, and it's put in a big pot there and mixed up by the Friendly Fires to great effect. Thank you very much, chaps. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and here is a message that we got in the week. Incidentally, if you would like to contribute in any way to this programme with your jingles, anything that you've made or drawn or anything you want to say or contribute to any of our... topics, it's adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. That is the email address throughout the week. If you're listening to this show on Listen Again or whatever, don't text us during the week. It'll just vanish.
Did we tell listeners that Taffin is actually on BBC One on the 22nd of May? Yeah.
Good effort.
If you want to catch Brosnan doing some incredibly powerful...
And maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Then tune into BBC One on the 22nd of May.
Here's a message from Lewis, who says, and this kind of slightly reminded me of our Text the Nation subject, which was the cooks, you know, the new formulas for cooking programs. Dear Adam and Joe, I was reading an article about how to make the perfect chili con carne and remembered something that had happened to me a few years ago that I thought would make a good Text the Nation subject. My parents went away one weekend, so I decided to have some friends over and cook a huge pot of chili to make burritos. I wanted this to be a really, really great chili, so I started about 12 in the afternoon, aiming to eat about 8 at night. I put all the good stuff in the pot and then left it bubbling away on a low heat for the rest of the day. My friends came over about 6 and we all started drinking. At 8 o'clock, we decided that instead of eating the chili, we'd go to the pub for a little bit. It had been cooking all day, so another hour would just make it more delicious. We came back at 11 o'clock, a little bit tooty and really hungry. Everyone else went into the living room to listen to music and I was left to finish the dinner. I chopped up some coriander to make it extra delicious. And as I was throwing it in, I noticed that I'd nicked one of my fingers with the knife and I was bleeding quite profusely. A large red pool of blood was sitting on top of the chili.
What sort of a letter is this?
It's from a vampire. So I had a quandary. Did I throw it away? It was delicious. Did I throw away my delicious chili that I'd worked on so hard all day, or make something else, or did I just stir in the blood and not mention to anyone what had happened? So I put a plaster on my finger and served up the chili.
No.
And never told anyone about the blood.
No.
It's still generally agreed that it was the best chili I ever made. Lots of love, Lewis.
That's terrible. If anyone's seen a Japanese film called Confessions, which I highly recommend, they won't like that story.
I mean, Lewis, you're basically like
I think it's
Sweeney.
Japanese.
He's a kind of Sweeney Todd with a twist, isn't it? Like, he's serving up...
I think that's absolutely not the thing to do. I think you throw the flipping chili away.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah, you don't... You just don't... I would like to say, on behalf of the big British castle, don't bleed into food.
Obviously don't bleed into food. But, I mean, if you've got, like, a little drop, where would you draw the line?
Yeah, I kind of would.
Just even oh,
hey, was it a little tiny drop?
Well, no, he's saying it's a big pool of blood.
Well, in that, yeah. I don't know.
But
I
even
don't,
if it was just a little drop,
no,
you'd chuck it.
Yeah. Well, no, hang on. If it's hot food and it's being boiled, then you might be all right. I don't know. A doctor could... I mean, what am I talking about? I'm a doctor. So, yeah, no, throw the food away.
Throw the food away.
On the side of caution. Get rid of it and start again. It's not worth it.
No.
Did you know that many diseases are carried in the blood?
I did know that. I mean, it would be a shame if he found out retrospectively.
It's not worth it. However tasty the chili con carne is, it just isn't worth it.
But if your friends were vampires...
Then it's a different kettle of chili con carne.
They would thank you for it. They would be upset if you hadn't nicked your finger.
Here's a bit of free play fun. This is Joe Jackson. And this, as somebody just texted earlier and requested this. We don't really do requests, but as I hadn't got any free plays, and I can't remember the person's name because it's gone down on the text screen, but you know who you are if you're still listening. And this is a great track. This is Joe Jackson with Stepping Out.
Jack Hall with Stepping Out. That's one of those songs you can put on a playlist and when you're in a party situation, and whenever it pops up, everyone will say, oh, this song, this is great.
Yeah, everyone over 35. This is Adam and Joe. This is BBC Six Music. Thanks very much for listening, listeners. Thanks for all your contributions. Don't forget this programme will be available as a podcast from the usual outlets from later this afternoon / early evening. You can also listen to it via Listen Again on the BBC iPlayer. And I won't be back, but next week Adam will be co-presenting with the fantastic Garth Jennings. And there'll be a Song Wars.
There will be a Song Wars.
So tune in for that excitement.
I mean, it's going to be a strange show, I suppose. It'll be lovely to see Garth again. But one of your functions, you know, on this show, one of your many functions, is to carry with you a large bucket of scorn, which you use to...
It's going to be an unusually positive
pour
show.
...pour on some of my more excessive moments. So I will be...
Garth is more, like, complicit. He's more...
Yeah, Garth is super positive and smiley, and he lets me get away with murder. So it might be just a horrifically ludicrous...
It's going to be Buxton Unchained.
...shouty, stupid, lavatorial show next week. So look forward to that. Stay tuned for Liz Kershaw. She's coming up next. And right now, we got the Stranglers for you. But have a lovely week. Take care. I love you.